first name. Disturbed by the fame, just like Kurt Cobain. Breath of life, kiss of death, my lips pursed the same. You flirt till she came, nothing hurt like the pain. And torture, throwing us up to dust, looking for a thing. Something to take in vain, like the Lord's name. Put your hands together, got them all saying.
Hi again, my name is Vanessa Nakate, and I live in Kampala, Uganda, a country that has one of the fastest changing climates in the world. In the past few years, I have seen more and more how the climate crisis is affecting the African continent, which is ironic given that Africa is the lowest emitter of CO2 emissions of all continents except for Antarctica. Historically, Africa is responsible for only 3% of global emissions, and yet Africans are already suffering some of the most brutal impacts fueled by the climate crisis. Rapidly intensifying hurricanes, devastating floods, and withering droughts. Many Africans are losing their lives, while countless more have lost their livelihoods. The droughts and floods have left nothing behind for the people, nothing except for pain, agony, suffering, starvation, and death. A recent World Bank report warned that we could see up to 86 million people in sub-Saharan Africa alone displaced due to rising sea levels, desertification, declining fresh water, and food scarcity. Over the past few months, there have been deadly heat waves and wildfires in Algeria and devastating flooding in countries like Uganda and Nigeria. And the UN has declared that Madagascar is on the brink of the world's first climate change famine. Tens of thousands of people are already suffering catastrophic levels of hunger and food insecurity after 4 years without rain. Who is going to pay for Madagascar? And of course, this is not just happening on the African continent. Hurricanes Imar, Maria, Dorian, and Harold have left some islands in the Caribbean and Pacific totally uninhabitable. 6 million Bangladeshis have become displaced as a consequence of climate change. By 2050, 17% of the country's coastline will vanish underwater, creating an estimated 30 million climate refugees. The International Union for the Conservation of Nature recently announced that there are now well over 38,000 species on its red list, the best available catalog we have of the species facing extinction.
Welcome to the Tone of Tenor Show by Partisan Voice of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. Our Instagram handle is @ToneAndTenorRadio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Our topic today is current events, the state of our global environment, and how it affects you. Prior to our introduction, you heard from Vanessa Natale, a keynote part of her keynote speech on global climate change at the Youth for Climate Summit recently. You know, before we go into today's statement, when you have to think about what she was saying about globally, talking about wildfires in Africa, the rain, it's not just in Africa.
Well, it's drought.
She said it.
Yeah, it's drought in Africa, but right. The fires are in Cali.
Right. But she said it, that mm-hmm. it's not just in Africa.
Yep.
So what's taking place is worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, and people aren't ready. You know, in Philadelphia, you know, we finally decided that we're going to ban plastic starting today.
Well, I mean.
But that was a long time coming. I've got to give props to.
It's a tough transition.
To a young lady that fought. Her name escapes my mind right now, but she fought for years to try to make people aware here in the city of Philadelphia that something needs to be done about the black plastic trash bag. I'm sorry, the plastic bags that come from Stop and Goes come from around because, you know, that's affecting the climate and all it's doing is those bags do not dissipate and they're made of oil. They get into the rivers. They get into the ocean.
Yep. None of that stuff is biodegradable.
Right.
None of it.
There you are. That's what happens, you know, when you're old, you start forgetting, you know, you got to have a young brain around.
They're hilarious.
But again, our topic today is COVID-19, current events, the state of global environment, and how it affects you. Mm. You should even think about why it should affect you and why you should be concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? But the actual law that Randall is talking about, it's specific to Philly, not to the state. So the ban was passed in 2019, but delayed because of COVID-19 for single bag use or non-recyclable bags. So that means paper bags can still be used because they're recyclable.
But mm-hmm. you know, even though it's just in Philadelphia, yeah, our neighboring state of Delaware, they have already, if they're not recyclable bags or paper bags, you got to bring your own.
Yeah.
So it's happening all across the country. So it's not just happening. And we need to get used to it. And it's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, when you really think about it, our forefathers or our great-great-grandmothers or grandfathers, they used burlap bags when they went shopping in the South and across, you know, during the cowboy days. You know, when you used to ride your horses, you know, back then, they used the burlap bags.
Yeah. Also crates. When I was a kid, we used to use the milk crates to carry groceries.
And recycling wasn't something new. Unfortunately, they took away recycling of glass bottles and aluminum cans because we used to make money from that.
Yeah, you get 5-10 cents.
Right.
Yeah, you know, yeah. This place is actually still charge you that 5 or 10 cents, by the way. So just in case y'all don't know that, read the bottle that you use.
Right.
Because some of them, if you return it, you'll actually get 5 or 10 cents.
You know, and newspapers, recycling newspapers. Mm-hmm. We raised a lot of money when I was a youngster in the Boy Scouts, and that's how we ended up going to Yellowstone, Grand Canyon, you know, through recycling and loading up my grandfather's truck and taking that paper to have it actually recycled. But then these politicians got a brilliant idea that let's mix all of this into one bag called trash, your garbage, your recyclables, your regular trash. And then that caused a problem. Then they had another brilliant idea. Oh, let's recycle again. So what we're going through
nothing new under the sun.
It's nothing new. It's just somebody else thinking they have a bright idea.
Sure.
You know, but it has harmed our environment because others had stupid bright ideas years past.
Yeah, yeah. But petroleum folks, which is in tires, it's in plastic bags. It is a serious, serious issue. There's only going to be warnings from now until April 1st, 2022. Thereafter, you actually will end up in court with a fine of $75 or more.
Mm. Wonder who's going to enforce that. They don't enforce anything else around here. Let me stop. I'm not going to get on that bandwagon today. Today is the day that we're going to talk about really things that are affecting our environment, something that's close and dear to you, Pat.
It is.
So let's rock and roll with the today's statement.
Sure. we reside in a society that preaches and teaches brotherhood, sisterhood, and community. Our issue isn't lack of resources, it's lack of reason. The voice of logic or intelligence is often drowned out, not by the voice of fear, but the voice of desire and lack of understanding or acknowledgement of the facts.
Mm.
The best of us is when our intentions match our results.
Mm.
A poor man's wealth is his reputation and his dignity.
Well, so some elders close to you influenced you to come up with this statement. You know, I'm looking for you eventually to take your statements and start putting them in a book, and you know, because these are powerful statements that you make have been making in a recent weeks that, and you probably had them in your.
But you know, the crazy thing is, a lot of this stuff I told you was actually when we first started doing this, what, 2 months ago. This stuff, like, I was like posting years ago, and stuff I just wrote down. Like, I didn't realize that it would make sense now. I'm like, where is this coming from? You know. But often, like I said, it's, you know, being around you, guys like Jerome Shabazz, Brother Sanders, you know, Brother Toffer, like, and, you know, my dad. You know, my dad's almost 80, so you know. A lot of you guys impart a lot of wisdom, and you know, even if you think I'm not listening, I am. So, I just, you know, it comes when I need it, I guess.
So, you know, one of the things, as I said, this is a topic that's close and dear to Pat. A couple of definitions we want to touch on today, because we're starting to hear more and more in world news. Environmental racism is a concept in the environmental justice movement. Interesting, which developed in the United States throughout the 70s and 80s. The term is used to describe environmental injustice that occurs within a racialized context, both in practice and policy. In the United States, environmental racism criticized inequalities between urban and ex-urban areas after white flight. Internationally, environmental racism can refer to the effects of the global waste trade, like the negative health impact of export of electronic waste to China from developed countries. Environmental racism is the disproportionate impact of environmental hazards on people of color. Environmental justice is the movement's response to the environmental racism. Wow. Powerful.
Yeah, it is.
Powerful, you know, and when you start thinking about this, you know, when you started, you know, like we always say, you can't learn. I learned a lot about global and climate. I've gone to global climate energy conferences in Las Vegas a couple times, but from you, I started really looking more into what was going on in our cities in when developers come in and stormwater, the green spaces on top of roofs, things that affect our environment. But right here, something just popped in my head as I was reading this, is the urban areas. When we think about, if you go into Philadelphia, and if you come through, most of you that travel through Philadelphia and hit 76, Interstate 76 West, coming from the airport, you will see the mass oil place. And when you think about it, to the right of that is what they call Southwest Philadelphia, which is predominantly poor area.
Yeah.
When you go down another part from coming down I-95 heading towards New York, to your right, as you get to what is was known as Fishtown, you see again the same things. And this came to light just as I read this, as I traveled this country and we went from throughout city and city, you can see where these places were built. So not only is it affecting you as you travel, but the gases and everything that come off out of these places affect your health and your well-being.
Sure does. There was actually a report that the Pelham School of Medicine of University of Pennsylvania that they did dealing with South Philly and Southwest Philly and the oil refinery.
Shit, I didn't even read that.
Yeah, so, you know, this type of time I'm on. Like, y'all know what I get into. You should check it out. They have, like, a EJ index for, like, everything. Actually, let me see if I can pull it up. Yeah, they talk about the ozone, particulate matter in the air. I even think there's things that screen. Because, like, I know people that have never had asthma a day in their life, and they've lived in South Philly or Southwest Philly, and they have asthma now.
Well,
grown-ups, it's crazy.
It's not just in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just in Philadelphia.
Man.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Pretty bad. It's really bad. So, DEP and mm-hmm. EPA, they're all over this. There has been some stuff that they try to put in place, like the Environmental Justice Summit that I went to a couple of years ago.
It's not even called justice now. It's the injustices. It's the injustice on just us.
Preach.
Or those that are, we talk about it, in the poverty areas.
Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is that, if we go back to the zip codes, we're not gonna dabble too much in that today, but if you go back to the zip codes, specific areas, you know, there's usually less grass, less trees, more pollution, more corner stores.
Light bulb goes on. Yeah. What was Philadelphia?
It was watershed.
Yeah.
Before we got here?
Watershed, farmland.
Yeah, before we got here. South Philly was actually farmland.
And so was West Philly.
Yeah.
You know, Indians lived. Yeah. You know, so when you really think about the environment, look at what construction. Now we're taking buildings up almost to the ozone layer.
Mm.
You know, destroying. We've destroyed our natural habitats down on the ground.
Sure.
Now we're up here destroying what's up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, folks, this is real stuff. I almost said a word that Vito over there sleeping would have had to beat me on. You know?
Yeah, but according to the United States Environmental Protection Agency, at the they spoke in 2020 about, the National EJ Council, Environmental Justice Challenges, their top four is lead, drinking water, air quality, and hazardous waste. So lead, working to eliminate disparities in childhood blood lead levels as an integral part of reducing lead exposure for all people. The EPA will convene partners to identify geographic areas with the greatest lead exposures, reduce resources of lead contamination, and take national action to reduce lead in water. I mean, we've already kind of done that on the state level. There's been a couple of states, and actually one of the state senators I worked for was working on that at one point. I think that's my phone. drinking water. Work to ensure that all people served by community water systems have drinking water that meets applicable health-based standards. In working towards this goal, we will place special emphasis on addressing drinking water challenges in underserved communities. Air quality.
Keep going, because I'm gonna reference a couple shows as you get through this.
Sure.
You know, this is not something new that we have been addressing on a national and local level for almost during the 8 years we've been on this air.
Gotcha. Achieving air quality that meets the fine particle pollution national ambient air quality standards in all areas of the country, with special emphasis on communities with poor air quality and low income populations. Ooh, okay. We will achieve this as soon as practicable. That doesn't make any sense, but anyway, and no later than the statutory attainment date. Low income populations are among the most at risk to adverse health effects from exposure to fine particle pollution. I said that earlier. Reduce human exposure to contamination at hazardous waste sites, with emphasis on minority and low income and vulnerable populations. And some of the other things they talked about was pesticides, commercial transportation on freight, water infrastructure, climate change and some other stuff. But you go ahead and go to the EPA website or environmental justice portion and take a look at that.
You know, and anyway, you just talked about something, and you know, a lot of people don't know. Having family coming from the Eastern Shore of Virginia, there was a lot of farming, and a lot of your chickens are raised down in that area. And, you know, the pesticides, they actually use, our forefathers, again, use natural resources. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, again, man came up. We got these big chemical companies. You know, I started out my college career as a chemical engineer. I was known as a mad scientist, you know, mixing this, mixing that. But, you know, a lot of this stuff has come into play, and we don't realize how it's destroying, you know, our environments, how it's polluting our waterways, how it's really taken over society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drinking water, you know, all of this stuff affects your body.
Yeah, particularly people that throw cigarettes and stuff. It's so crazy, like, when I'm going to the office in the morning, like, traveling from Philly into Delaware County, like, seeing people literally just throw stuff on the ground. It's crazy to me. It's like, do you realize that we're surrounded by two bodies of water, the Delaware River and the Schuylkill?
And that's the...
And that's where the stuff goes every time you throw it out.
You know... You mentioned water crisis, and we're still in water crisis. As I said, I was going to reference a show or two.
Hmm.
Back on show number 112, now we're in the 300, show number 372.
Hmm.
So over 200 some odd shows ago, we talked about a water crisis with the folks in Flint, Michigan.
Hmm. Yeah, that I got some notes today
for
Flint.
That show is number 112, folks. You can go to our SoundCloud. The dated date is 2/12/16. Today, Flint still has a problem with their water supply.
Yeah, because there's something from Lake Huron.
5 years later, and we're talking about infrastructure bills today, and the water infrastructure has to be fixed. But again, as we read the definitions, that's an urban area. People of color.
Yeah, Flint is very poor.
Who cares? Who's really caring about them? You know, everybody ran out back in February of 2016 or before, did all their photo ops, did all their walking. Still, people are getting sick in Flint, Michigan. That's just, so when we talk about what we're doing around this country, it's not just about Philadelphia.
Mm.
When we talk about urban areas, it's about everything that goes on in the urban areas. And it's time for you elected officials to get off your rusty dusties and really start identifying the real needs. Stop throwing good money after bad money. Let's fix some of this word that begins with an S and ends with a T. With that, we're going to go take a break. You know, we're on, this is Randall Jefferson and Patty Watt on WWDB Talk 860 AM. This is the Tone and Tenor Talk Radio Show Hour.
Climate change is not only a threat. It is above all an opportunity to create a healthier, greener, and cleaner planet which will benefit all of us. We must seize this opportunity. We can achieve a win-win in both ecological conservation and high-quality development. Fighting climate change calls for innovation, cooperation, and willpower to make the changes that the world needs. We need to walk the talk. If we do this together, we can do this. When I say climate change, what do you think of? I think of jobs. Green jobs. Green jobs. We must find a smooth transition towards a low carbon economy. There is no planet B. There is no planet blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. This is not about some expensive, politically correct green act of bunny hugging or blah, blah, blah.
build back better, blah, blah, blah. Green economy, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Net zero, blah, blah, blah. Climate neutral, blah, blah, blah. This is all we hear from our so-called leaders. Words. Words that sound great, but so far has led to no action. Our hopes and dreams drown in their empty words and promises. Of course, we need constructive dialogue, but they've now had 30 years of blah, 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 and where has that led us? Over 50% of all our CO2 emissions have occurred since 1990, and a third since 2005. All this while the media is reporting on what the leaders say that they are going to do instead of what they are actually doing. And then not holding leaders accountable for their action, or rather inaction. And don't get me wrong, we can still do this. Change is not only possible, but urgently necessary, but not if we go on like today. They say they want solutions, but you cannot solve a crisis that you do not fully understand. You cannot balance a budget if you do not count all the numbers. And as long as we ignore equity and historic emissions, and as long as we don't include consumption of imported goods, burning of biomass, etc., etc., and as long as clever accounting is one of the most efficient ways of reducing emissions, we won't get anywhere. And the climate crisis is, of course, only a symptom of a much larger crisis. A sustainability crisis, a social crisis, a crisis of inequality that dates back to colonialism and beyond. A crisis based on the idea that some people are worth more than others and therefore have the right to exploit and steal other people's land and resources. And it is very naive to believe that we can solve this crisis without confronting the roots of it. Right now, we are still very much speeding in the wrong direction. 2021 is currently projected to experience the second highest emission rise ever. Only about 2% of government recovery spendings have been allocated to clean energy measures.
Welcome back to Tony Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. Our topic today is COVID-19, current events, the state of our governmental environment, and how it affects you. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Real solutions.
I was sending my kids to school in Sweden.
These are young people.
They tired.
These are young people, which you just heard from Greta Thunberg. That was part of her keynote speech at the Youth for Climate. These are young people, you know, telling.
All under 25.
Yeah, they're global citizens under 30. And then, yeah, you know, this doesn't make sense. But we have these smart people at the table in government.
Blah, blah,
blah.
Blah,
blah, blah. Blah,
yeah.
You know, looking for solutions that are. Don't know how to,
no.
You know, she talked to us something about accounting, you know, and I had to laugh because, you know, we called it, in my day, creative accounting.
Yeah.
You know, you make the numbers look the way you want it to look or,
yeah. You
know, you never use the word plug, you know, but they are actually telling elected officials, worldwide leaders, to shut the up and start doing something. We're sitting here in the most resourceful country. We have a infrastructure problem.
Oh, yeah.
We got a bunch of blah, blah, bloggers sitting down in Washington, D.C. that can't come up with infrastructure bills that could help save some of these problems.
Yeah. So let me give them some reference to that. So as of 2019, approximately 15,600 dams in the United States are classified as high hazard structures. For over the last 20 years.
But nobody gives a damn.
This is according to the infrastructurereportcard.org. Like, I've been telling y'all forever, like, infrastructure is a serious issue. We have 84,000 dams in the United States. 84,000 dams. If some of these things break where they are,
some of these things. Some of them have already broken. And look at every time we get major hurricanes or tornadoes, our infrastructures are affected, our rivers are affected, our waterways are affected because of all of you. And, you know, we have to take some onus of this, too. You mentioned something earlier, Pat. When we were younger, if I got caught dead dropping something in the street, I was made to go walk over there and pick it back up.
Yes, somebody would say something.
You in our urban cities, we have our sewers which run into our rivers. When you drop this stuff into the street, it clogs the sewers to begin with. It creates floods. Mm. Then it causes health hazards because then a lot of the areas there's mosquitoes. Mm. And you don't know what these mosquitoes are.
Yeah, we don't know what they have.
Or what's have.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really a problem. But see, folks don't see it as a problem because everybody, and I'm going to say this now, everybody wants to talk about the gun violence and the getting guns off the street. It ain't, and I'm saying it this way, it ain't about getting the guns off the street. It's about getting these politicians to have these pet peeve grassroots organizations and nonprofits that now all of a sudden we've got this trauma. They went from getting guns off the street to trauma. Throwing good money after bad. Let's throw the money, as that young lady said, let's throw the money into those types of jobs. These are young people talking. This is not Pat and I talking that you heard earlier today. These are young people. They're definitely younger than I am, and they're they're younger than Pat.
Yeah.
Some of them are barely out of their 20s talking about this. And they're talking about solutions.
Because there's not going to be nothing left for them.
You know.
If we continue this.
All of you folks that are sitting out there talking all of this, nah, nah, blah, blah, blah. It's time for you to stop the blah, blah, blah. Get out the way. If you're in a gun violence organization and you've been sitting there, get out the way. If you're sitting in an environmental organization and haven't done nothing, get out the way.
Yeah.
Stop collecting that money and stop creating these nonprofits where all you're doing is sending in a card saying you got less than $50,000 and you don't show any other income, but yet and still you're driving around and get out the way.
Yeah.
You know, that's Pat's word. It's time for you to get out the way. It's almost time for me to get out the way and let the young people take over. We have to start training people. Yeah. We have to start educating our young people. You know, thank God Height got out the way.
Yeah, but he got a teammate off like a bandit. But real quick, let me shout out Wilson Alexander and Kelly. Thank y'all. They're watching us live on Facebook. So shout them out real quick.
So to all of you that are out here trying to seek public office, you know, let's stop talking about the same old, same old. Mm. You know, let's talk about these things that actually affect the lives of people. You know, you mentioned Wilson Alexander. Wilson lives in a part of Philadelphia known as Eastwick. And this young lady talked about blah, blah, blah. The Army Corps of Engineers have been out there. It's like a marsh.
They've been saying this stuff for years. Like,
but they haven't been saying since the 90s. 10 years, they still haven't done nothing.
But the Army Corps of Engineers, though, since the 90s. I was a teenager in the 90s. So, like, there was like, yo, all this stuff is going to happen. Here's the data.
Right. But when that area flooded out, you know, blah, blah, blah is a good term for these young people. Mm-hmm. All the politicians came up there with their blah, 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 and it hadn't been, and I got to shout Wilson Alexander out for his leadership and those folks around him that did not stay on.
He giving y'all hell down there.
Those officials, no telling what those houses would look like.
Sure.
Whether some of them, they probably would still be in disarray. Mm. Look, we still got people still suffering from Katrina.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still have, and now.
Hurricane Sandy.
The last flood, their FEMA's just setting up, you know, $200,000 in this area for a house and $1 million up for a business. You know, but these people have lost. Why? Because of what Pat has been talking about since I've known him. Infrastructure problems. Our environment. Everyone, and I've said this over and over again, and Pat and I've talked about this. Everybody thought that Al Gore was a lunatic when his hair grew long and he grew a beard and he started, he looked a little up like Mike Vito. You know, they thought he was losing his mind when he started championing what was going to happen to our climate.
Nah, he was just connecting with it. See, the thing is that one of the things they do is they disconnect you from your environment, right? Your culture. I mean, just look at indigenous people all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing they do when they colonize a place, and y'all can take this however you want because it's the truth. Once they colonize a place, what do? They either kill all the men or subdue the warrior class, right? They cut your hair.
Afghanistan, think about that.
Yeah, they cut your hair. And they strip you of everything, you know what I'm saying? And then
of your dignity.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
You strip you of your dignity, and then I mean, it's all part of the process.
Yeah.
And again, if you don't, you know, we talk about, you hear people say, I'm not part of the problem, I'm part of the solution, or I'm going to be part of the solution. Well, if you don't come to the table with something instead of words, nobody doesn't want to hear about what you did 10 years ago or what your family did or who died. People are dying all over the world, not just by gun violence.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
They're dying, as a young lady, food insecurity. We see it firsthand.
They said there's going to be a famine in certain sections of Africa. How is that even possible? How is that possible when Africa supplies the metal for cell phones?
But let's think about it. Then you go a little further down, you got the diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
But where do those diamonds go?
Oh, they're in England.
They're in England.
They're in
those mines. That's why they had to keep Mugabe in South Africa. See, you got to know history too, people. You know, we don't get up here and just start ranting and raving. You got to understand. You know, all those natural resources that are on that continent.
Like, literally, like, the place is dripping and teeming with, but this is the same thing that going back to, you know, Haiti. Like, Haiti had a bunch of natural resources. All of a sudden, what happened? They were stripped of everything. This is before Haiti was Haiti, when Haiti was IT or when it was one whole island, right? This is before Hispaniola. Nobody talks about that, right? The Pope at the time didn't forgive. Remember, like I said this before, it's good to be early, but it's never good to be first, right? That's the first indigenous/black republic on this hemisphere, in the Western Hemisphere. This is facts. But what happened? This is why people are getting sent home. This is why people are getting whipped. You know what I mean? And being treated like less than. But again, they're human just like anybody else.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is what, you know, the young ladies were saying. And, you know,
the second one touched on that.
And we may be saying blah, blah, get out the way. But let's really think about it. We have a senator that has already said that they're going to run for their seat again. All right. We have a senator. U.S. Senator, And don't get me wrong, I know him. But, you know, at 88 years old, Senator Grassley, it's time to retire. Nancy Pelosi, it's time for you to get out the way.
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer, it's time for you to get out the way.
Yep, there's two types of people. You're either on the way or you're in the way.
You know, all of you that are that have been there for so long, your ideas are now stagnant. We're in a different time. Whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent, the only one that sounds like he's still stepping to the change in the, with the times and no endorsement for him. It's Bernie.
Yeah.
It's Bernie Sanders. Why? Because he embraced the ideology of the young people and started listening to them. Mm-hmm. He gave them seats at the table. You look around, a lot of these folks won't give a young person a seat at the table, let alone, if they do, allow them to speak.
Shoot. Even the seasoned young person. You know what I mean?
Allow them to speak. With that said, I think we got to take another break.
Yes, this is our last and final break for today. You are now listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People. Our topic today is, how did I lose it?
COVID-19, current events, the state of our global environment and how it affects you. And why it affects you and understanding our environment.
All my time is spent focused on my freedom now. Why would I join them when I know that I can beat them now? They put their words on me and they can eat them now. That's probably why they keep on telling me I'm needed now. They tried to box me out while taking what they want from me. I spent too many years living too uncomfortably, making room for people who didn't like the labor but wanted the spoils, greedy, selfish behavior. Now let me give it to you balanced and with clarity. I don't need to turn myself into a parody. I don't do what you do for popularity. They clearly didn't understand when I said I get out, apparently. My awareness like Keanu in the Matrix. I'm saving souls and y'all complaining about my lateness. Now it's illegal for someone to walk in greatness. They want the same, but they don't take risks. Now the world will get to see its own reflection, and the anointed can pursue their own direction. And if you're wrong and you're too proud to hear correction, walk into the hole you dug yourself a projection. See me in my freedom, taking all my land back. They said a lot against me, thinking I just stand back. I got my legs beneath me, I got my hands back. A lot of people sabotaged, they couldn't stand that. I turned the other cheek, I took blow.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of Bala Cynwyd, a stone throw away from beautiful downtown Philadelphia. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
And our topic today is current events, the state of our global environment, and how it affects you.
Yeah. So real quick, I wanted to really, really put emphasis on what does environmental injustice look like. So there's actually a study called the majority say it's called Black, Indigenous, and People of Color, BIPOC communities. Did I say it right? That are mostly impacted by negative impacts of pollution or environmental disasters. These negative impacts can range from poor air quality to increased rates of cancer and death. In fact, in the United States, poor people and the POC have been found to have the highest rates of asthma, cancer, higher mortality rates, and overall poorer health than people in living in more affluent communities and areas, and white people in general. So here's five examples. Taking land from indigenous people, oil pipelines. Number two as well. Placing pipelines, mines, and landfills. I mean, there's a reason why people protest about that stuff. Mm-hmm. As Randall said, the Flint, Michigan crisis, Hurricane Katrina, Cancer Alley, right? There's a stretch in Louisiana where the population is primarily black or low income, heavily concentrated of petrochemicals, and much higher rates of cancer than the whole rest of the entire U.S. combined.
Just think about this. You know, I mentioned Philly and Southwest Philadelphia section, which is represented by African-American councilman, you know.
And state rep.
State rep. You know, these are things that
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I got the old state rep out. I ain't seen nothing yet. I said it.
That's true. You know.
A lot of double dutch being played around here.
Well, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, it's these young people, but you have people, you know, they're looking at it that if we develop land, that's going to, no. What is all this development, again, is creating another crisis. The gas fumes from your car, because now you're building buildings that have not one apartment or two apartments like back in the day, four and five, and almost everybody, at least in each one of those apartments in that building. Now we're just talking about one building, has a car.
Yeah, because we're trying to become a more biking or transit friendly city. But my thing is, instead of, and a lot of people don't know this, but in the 1920s and 1930s, I think it was Mayor Paul, it was Paul Kendrick, right? Like they kiboshed his plan to build a 13 line train system. The Vare family, yes, this is what really happened because they're pretty much the mob. They shut him down. Like, no, you getting the we put you in office, you getting ahead of yourself.
But how many years later, we want to have a transit system like New York?
We missed the boat.
You know,
the high speed line that was supposed to go up the boulevard. I mean, the infrastructure's already there. We can use the mall in the middle, right? That's what Chicago does. They just use the infrastructure that's already there. We actually on the L. The Spring Garden stop is connected to 95. Mm-hmm. We can just use the infrastructure that's already there instead of doing something extra. You know what
You're
I mean?
You're thinking. Stop that.
Oh, yeah.
That's you
yeah,
can't
that's
do that.
Where I'm at now. You're right.
You know, you have to sit back and wait your turn, as you were once told.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody did come up to me and told me that, and I was what?
This is what we're talking about. This is what these young people are talking about. You know, you're telling you old heads, you OGs out here that's in this political world are telling folks to sit back and wait their turn.
Nah, it's community too, though. It's community,
yeah. Grassroots. But see,
and
the grassroots,
real quick though,
hold on. Mm-hmm. But the grassroots organizations wouldn't be here if the churches, which were the original grassroots organizations,
have stepped up,
and it didn't become more about the money. And not less about the community, because most of these ministers, yes, I'm saying it, ministers, priests, whatever title you want to wear, don't live in the communities. Yeah. It's almost like
neither do some of the council people.
But yeah, those that claim they live and they live in another state. Enough said on that. but what I'm getting to is
we're not
that
in your district.
When you don't have knowledge, and when you're not part of the community, or you're just buying a house and after renting a house so that you can run for a particular seat, that's not helping. You're still part of the problem, not part of the solution, because half of y'all don't know anything about the city, let alone the community in which you live, or what needs to be done. You know, Philadelphia was the city of trees. When you really think about it, if you ask anybody, most people, we got Cherry Street, Walnut Street, Chester Street. Actually, all of those trees grew on those streets.
Yeah.
You know, in West Philadelphia, it was now Malcolm X. It was Black Oak Park. Why? Because of the number of black oak trees in that area.
Sure.
Then some brilliant person in government and then started putting into people's heads that the roots of the trees were destroying their pipes on their houses. Mm. So these trees, the sycamore trees, all of them started getting cut down. The chestnut tree. During the holidays, people used to go out on Chestnut Street and gather the chestnuts to roast them.
Mm-hmm.
Cherry Street, right at the...
Yeah, we did that in New York.
cherry trees, apple trees, at the project at 46th and Market.
Mm. Yeah, there's actually still a cherry tree over on, it's on like 63rd and like Lancaster.
Actually grew there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Peach trees were there.
Yeah.
All of this
some context clues.
Helps the environment, you know, because we have to have that green.
Yeah.
And, you know, until we get it back, you know, we're going to have a lot of more cancer, a lot more people on dialysis, people killing over, dying, unhealthy diets. You know, whoever thought you would be buying water?
Yeah. Yeah, but.
With that said, you know, I think we got about 4 minutes, four minutes.
Mm, but yeah, one last fact. So forest and like trees in urban areas play a huge, huge, huge part because what it does, it gets rid of carbon. So the trees actually absorb carbon, mm-hmm. which is CO2.
Yep, the CO2.
Yeah, so that's kind of why Randall's stressing that. And, you know, I've already been talking about it.
You know, and last but not least, you know, we talk about the 8 wonders of the world. You know, you hear people talk about the Grand Canyon. You start hearing about Yosemite National Park. Look at how the wildfires are burning down all the trees, and the redwoods and all of that. You know, think about this, people. This all is going to affect you. It's already affected those in my lifetime and past. But think about your children.
Yeah, your grandchildren.
Get on these politicians. Make them do their job. Make them understand. It ain't about Republican or Democrat. It ain't about the unions. It's about your well-being.
Yeah.
If they don't want to do it, and you want to keep hearing blah, 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 fire them at the voting box.
Yeah. Yep. Remember, November 2nd, y'all. November 2nd. So, where are we at? What time we got?
Yeah.
We got three minutes. Okay.
Yeah. So, but we got it. We got to start looking at real issues, not same old, you know, talking about taxes is done, talking about education is done, talking about health care is done. You know, you keep throwing about infrastructure, keep throwing money into, you know, these crazy behind, almost had to catch myself, projects, you know, that mean nothing.
Mm.
You know, that mean nothing. All because you got the money, make that money, use that money for the betterment of mankind.
Sure, sure.
And help those that need real help, not those that have gone to jail and out here with a big, big mouth and need and don't do anything. It's time for us to wake up and smell the coffee.
Yeah. Or you'll be smelling the carbon. So with that said, listeners and our followers, to see more of us on social media, on Twitter, we're at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we're at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor, and that's all one word, to find our page. You can also find our podcasts on WWE website or on SoundCloud. But we kind of prefer SoundCloud because we get the hits, so we know where the stuff is coming from. But I know you secretive fans, y'all can listen to us on WWDB website or Facebook. Please look out for us and support us as we partner up with folks like the Social Impact Cafe and communities around Philadelphia and Norristown.
And Delaware.
Delaware County. Yeah.
Wherever help needed. Tone and Tenor, you'll find Tone and Tenor.
Absolutely.
We don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're always committed to projects that bring support, relief, education, empowerment, and good cheer. Our studio engineer today,
Mr. Mike Vito.
Vito.
Thank you, Vito.
Yeah, I am Pat Edward.
I'm Randall Jefferson. Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People talk radio show here on WWDB Talk 860 out of Ballard Kenwood, Pennsylvania.
Yep. See you next week.
It's the type of shit that they read about. Like Chris said, I gotta bleed it out. I've been in the zone, I can't be without this real shit that I be about. I'm a visionary that's long term, but Def Jam said they needed that. If I rush the shit, I might be without, but I need a vision, can't see without. I've been patient, never complacent, left the under.